Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Did you see the full moon earlier this week? Big, bright full moon. I don't think I've ever seen a brighter moon. The perfect circle, and you could see all of the terrain, all of the geography, all of the continents or mountains. I thought it was really remarkable. It was so clear and so crisp. Features were so bright and clear. It was so bright and so direct, and it was very inspiring and very touching. The moon has always been important in human experience. The very first humans saw the moon, and it made a very big difference in, it was very important in their lives. The moon has been celebrated, you know, in song, and in poetry, and in stories. It's meant something very special to humans, and I thought, as I looked at that moon, I thought, what would the Earth be like if there were no moon? It's pretty amazing to think about what life would be like if there were no moon, if there would even be life on Earth without a moon. You can think of all the effects that the moon's gravity has had on the Earth. So when we look at the moon, and earlier this week we say it's a full moon, and every month we say, oh, here it is, the full moon. But as I saw this particular full moon earlier in the week, I thought to myself, what is it that makes a moon full? Of course, it's because there's a brief moment in the month when it's perfect circle. So we say full, moon is full. But I got to thinking that the moon is not full only once a month. The moon is full when we are full. To really see, to understand the fullness of the moon, we ourselves have to be full. We have to express our own fullness so that the moon can express its fullness. Then the moon is full at all times, not just once a month. In the same way, to appreciate the fullness of life at any time, not just once in a while, to appreciate life, we have to see its fullness. We have to see the fullness of life. To see the fullness of life, we ourselves have to be full at any moment and at all times. At all times, including the up times and the down times, we ourselves have to be full. When we are full, everything is full, everything is complete, and everything is in balance and bright. and we can see the outlines. Our entire world is always complete and full, not just once in a while or when we are feeling particularly good. Sometimes our life, the things in our life, are vertical, such as the trees, the mountains, and waterfalls. And at the same time, some things in our life are horizontal, like the grasses and the rivers and the oceans and the deserts. Our world is both vertical and horizontal. If it were not both horizontal and vertical, it could not be full. It would be incomplete. When you think about it, we could not have a world, we could not have a life that was not both horizontal and vertical. It would be incomplete, and the world could not satisfy us. We have to see the world, and we have to see ourself as we see the full moon, complete with all the details. We have to come to see our inherent fullness. And this is part of our practice. So the fullness of our life depends on both vertical qualities and horizontal qualities. Sometimes we ourselves are vertical and sometimes we are horizontal. Our vertical nature means we are practicing uprightness and firmness. So when we come to Zazen and we take this posture, we keep our back straight and we ourselves are upright and vertical. And we keep our awareness on the immediate moment in front of us. Just like you are trained in martial arts or something like that. Keep your awareness on what's happening in the moment in front of you. So our vertical practice, our firmness and our straightness, is about self-discipline, taking care of our body and mind. And when we engage all of our senses in what we're doing, this is also vertical practice. This is the thinking and the doing side of our human nature, our action side, our intellectual side, the side where words come in. And the aim of our vertical practice, of our vertical quality, its aim is to be successful, to have our life go well, to do our activities well, to have our life go well, to be successful in the things that we do, in the things that we think are important. And so our vertical nature emphasizes goals, emphasizes focus. There is a famous story, a famous koan, Zen koan. I'll read briefly. It's the story about the 10-foot pole, the 100-foot pole. So the case begins when Master Sekiso asks, How can you proceed on further from the top of a 100-foot pole? And another teacher from the olden times said, you who sit on the top of a 100-foot pole, although you have entered the way, you are not yet genuine. Proceed on from the top of the pole, and you will show your whole body in 10 directions. So this story, or this koan of the 10-foot pole, it's a vertical image of practice. Move on up. Keep moving up. Make progress. Move upwards. When I think of this image of somebody being asked, what do you do? What do you do when you go to the top of the pole? I thought, what if it's not just one person going to the top of the pole? What if there are hundreds of us, thousands of us, millions of us, all trying to climb the pole? It would be a huge field of poles sticking upward out of the ground. And everybody would be climbing very hard, making their own individual effort and trying to understand, what do I do when I reach the top of this 100-foot pole? And contemplating this story is part of our vertical practice. But it's not the only dimension of our practice. There's also the horizontal dimension. And rather than climbing upwards, the horizontal dimension of our practice is about coming back to ourself. So when we come to Zazen, we sit and we fold our legs like we're all doing now. And we don't emphasize the vertical, we emphasize the horizontal. Sitting with folded legs like this provides us stability. And allows us to merge with others like we are doing now, giving us a sense of oneness. The horizontal dimension of our practice has no particular focus, no goal, and no idea of success. The horizontal nature of our practice is not concerned with climbing or achieving any goals. Here's another koan, another story that perhaps illustrates the horizontal. This is case number 89. The whole body is hand and eye. So the two monks, Ungan and Dogo, are talking, and Ungan asks Dogo, what use does the great Bodhisattva of mercy make of all those hands and eyes? So the Bodhisattva of compassion is Kanan, or Avalokiteshvara, and is generally in art pictured as having thousands of hands and thousands of eyes within each, on each fingertip. And Ungo asks, what does the great Bodhisattva make of all those hands and eyes? How does she use those hands and eyes? And Dogo says, It is like a man straightening his pillow with his outstretched hand in the middle of the night. And Ungan replies, "Oh, I have understood." And Dogo said, "How do you understand?" And Ungan replies back, "The whole body is hand and eye." Dogo says, "Well, you've had your say, but you have given only 8/10 of the truth." Ungan says, "Well, how would you put it?" And Dogo said, "The entire body is hand and eye." So if you try to figure it out, if you try to analyze this, you can't. You have to just live with it, let it sink in, and let its meaning come to you. But simply speaking, you know, it talks about somebody reaching for their pillow in the middle of the night without even being awake, instinctively reaching out. Without any goal, without consciousness, it's like there is no activity. It's just silence. The body and mind are not striving, just instinctively, silently reaching out. Instinctively reaching out for life. This is the horizontal. No thinking, no goals, no striving, just instinctively reaching out. So we need both our vertical dimension and our horizontal dimension in order to be full. Just like the moon needs its roundness and its features that we see. We need both vertical and horizontal in order to have complete relationships with each other and with things and with our activities. When we have complete relationships, full relationships, then we can create something. And this creativity, this creation combines verticalness, where things can express their worldly qualities, their everyday qualities. Such as when we bake bread, or when bread is baked. The bread dough consists of flour and water and yeast, and the flour must have its flourness. The water must have its waterness, and the yeast must have its yeastness. Each must express its inherent qualities. And when we can express ourselves in our relationships, we will have confidence in ourselves. And we can express our creative worldly qualities. This is firmness. This is verticalness. If we don't express our qualities, our inherent qualities, like the flour does or the water does and the yeast does, if we don't express our qualities, we cannot create. No bread will be created. This is true for things, and this is true for people. And of course, we need our horizontalness, which, when you think about it, is a bending down from verticalness. Like bamboo. You notice a bamboo grows straight, but when the breeze comes, the bamboo bends and moves towards the horizontal. We ourselves have to be ready to bend from our vertical. When some force in our life approaches, we have to be ready to bend. Our horizontal nature requires that we be flexible. When we can be flexible, when we can express our horizontal quality, our life can cross and can touch with others. We bend over towards others. So our horizontal nature allows our life to assume various angles, minute by minute, day by day. Then our life can be full and in balance. When our life is too vertical, when we cannot express our horizontal side, when our life is too vertical, there is fear. Because it means we are afraid to bend. We are afraid to express our horizontal nature. Afraid to bend because we're afraid we will fall down. So we rigidly stay vertical. This is a life without flexibility, which turns into a life with fierce pride and stubbornness and separateness, because we hold ourselves apart when we don't know how to be horizontal. And if we are too much horizontal, we are also fearful. Too much horizontal means we're afraid to stand up, afraid to be vertical, because we're afraid we might fall down. So being too, emphasizing the horizontal too much means we prefer to stay down. Means we cannot establish a good relationship. So we need both dimensions to balance each other so that we can be complete and our life can be full. We cannot really meet with each other if we remain only vertical. It's like we're stuck in the ground in one place, rigid, and no bending, no flexibility. And we cannot meet each other if we remain horizontal. We will not be able to appreciate our fullness. So we have to be willing to climb that pole, and we have to be willing to jump off. It's very much like when we bow, when we do prostrations. Our bowing practice expresses both sides of our nature. We prostrate ourselves horizontally, which means, and when we do that, we return to the earth. We're not separate from the ground, our original ground. When we prostrate ourselves and touch our head to the floor, we have no ideas of a small self. And then we stand up and resume our verticalness, or our uniqueness. And we resume our capacity to do something. So the attitude we bring to our bowing is the spirit of our practice. Bowing means we go back and forth between the vertical and the horizontal. Maintaining our balance. And one more story. This is a very famous story about Joshu's oak tree. So a monk comes to visit the teacher Joshu, and he asks, "What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming to China?" This was a kind of standard question back in 7th century China. asking the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming over from India to China really means, what's the essence of Buddhism? What does Buddhism mean? Why did Bodhidharma come to China? And Joshu responds by saying, the oak tree in the garden. Again, this is a story that you cannot analyze. You have to let it, you have to live with it and let it sit with you and let its meaning present itself. But essentially it means Joshu says the essence of Buddhism is the oak tree in the garden. He means it's both horizontal and vertical. The huge oak tree stands upright and unmovable. But its branches and its leaves bend to the wind without hesitation. The oak tree has confidence in both its dimensions. This story talks about the fullness of the tree and the fullness of our life. Does anybody have a question tonight?
You were talking about bowing, and as we bow, it's an acknowledgement that we're all one. And I just want to share that when I was bowing, I was thinking of somebody that I loved and how she was feeling sad and how I felt grief because she was feeling sad. And so today while we were bowing, I was feeling that but also feeling connection to the group. So I just thought I relate to what you were saying about the intention of bowing.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Bowing gives us an opportunity to have those kinds of feelings, to quiet the mind for a moment and let those feelings come forth and help us connect with the people that we feel connected to. Thank you.
Nice to meet you. So when you were talking about vertical and horizontal, something that I was wondering if you could speak to and tell me if this is really silly to think of, but that aren't they kind of the same thing from two different perspectives? Like if you take the pole out of the ground and lay on its side, then it's horizontal now. So they're kind of two things, but they're kind of like that whole like not two, not one sort of thing. Is there anything to that?
Do you think? Same, but different. Two different ways of seeing ourselves. Both valid. They look like they're in opposition, but essentially they're not. We have to give both a life so they could flow together so that we can be full. But yes, same thing. Thank you.
So I was, I'm kind of surprised. I wasn't expecting to think about things in terms of vertical and horizontal or both order. You said that a part of our practice when we bow, it has both verticalness and horizontalness. In today's culture, I feel like there's a lot of conversation and discussion about people losing themselves to verticalness, the pursuit of career, money, etc. But there's not so much conversation about people losing themselves to the word of mindfulness. So I think I had assumed that horizontalness was maybe the right thing to the right way to try to experience life, and that verticalness was not necessary. Wonder what you think about that.
Well, I've thought a lot about that. You're right. We, you know, culture these days does emphasize verticalness. More and more we forget about our horizontal nature. And we become overwhelmed by our vertical side. And I think your sense is correct that we have to return to expressing our horizontal nature if we are to find balance in our life. Doesn't mean we have to give up the vertical. It just, we have to balance it with our other side, our other dimension. So I agree with you. You're right. Thank you.
Yes, earlier in your talk, you mentioned that a few days ago the moon was full and was so beautiful. I suppose that was probably partly because it's the so-called supermoon, where it's a bit closer, and so you can actually see the moon a little better. But the other thing, of course, that happened the other night when the moon was absolutely full was that there was a total lunar eclipse. And I don't know if any of the rest of you were able to see it, but certainly that was a very cloudy, overcast, stormy night. The scene was not very good, to say the least. And I went out a few times and looked up, and sure enough, I couldn't see anything. And I was feeling very disappointed about that. And there was a specific reason why I was feeling disappointed. If any of you are into sort of amateur astronomy, you will know that lunar eclipses come in a pattern called sorocidal. And in fact, there was another total lunar eclipse exactly 6 months ago in July. It wasn't visible from California. California was on the wrong side of the Earth to see it. But I wasn't in California. I was in a camp in the middle of Chile National Park in Botswana that night with my wife and my grandson. And we were sitting at the campfire looking up in the sky and watching this beautiful lunar eclipse. And it was really a very moving experience. And I realized that this experience was feeding the disappointment that I felt when I went out and I couldn't see this eclipse. And so I sort of sat with that disappointment for a while to see what it could tell me. And I was reminded of one chant, the loving kindness meditation sutra, about what it says about the burden of riches. And I realized what I was doing was taking the riches of seeing that eclipse in Africa, making it the burden of disappointment when I couldn't see it this time. And it seemed to me that the lesson from that was that the moon was full and it was beautiful and it was a beautiful eclipse and I couldn't see it, but that was not because it wasn't there, it was because my vision was clouded. And as is so often the case in our practice, if you just sit with that and have confidence, then your vision will clear, and sure enough, the next night there was a beautiful, almost full moon. So I just wanted to share what I felt I learned from that little twinge of disappointment that started out being such a negative feeling, but I think it really taught me a lesson.
Thank you. Yes, please.
Mine is just, could you share the title of the book you read?
I'm sorry?
Could you share the title of the book that you read?
Oh, this?
Yeah.
Oh. This book is, the title is Two Zen Classics. It's two collections of these of those koans. One collection is called the Mumon Kan, and the other is the Hekigan Roku. And they're two books in one, and both have 100 or so. Well, one has 48 stories, and the other has 100 stories. And traditionally, you know, in the old days, Zen monks' training was to solve each one of those questions or riddles presented by the teacher. The monk goes away, comes back, provides an answer. The teacher says, no. Go back and try again. And until the teacher says, okay, that's good. Now here's the next one. And proceed to solve, if that's the right word, to express an understanding of what each one of those means. So these collections illustrate the kind of insight that the monks try to polish in their training and in their practice with their teacher. And when it is said about somebody, oh, he passed all of his koans, it's amazing. All 100. So now I don't know if we do that anymore. It's an old practice. Two Zen classics. I think you can still get it. Thank you.
The last story about the lunar eclipse reminded me of my experience, and I guess what I noticed was when all my friends were saying, oh, you know, go look at it, my instinct was to not do it because it's been long instilled in me to kind of not go with, kind of like if there's a holiday, don't join in with the crowd. And I'm not really proud of that, but it seems like that's sort of a isolating ego kind of pride stubbornness that is vertical, and it seems like to go along with what you just talked about, it would be good to try to be a little more horizontal. And I just wondered if there's any wisdom to being horizontal without feeling like kind of phony, I guess.
I don't think you're phony. I think this practice that we do here is how we resume our horizontalness. We don't have to make any special effort other than our practice to awaken or bring alive our horizontalness. Just like And let it become natural, just like the bamboo will bend when there's the slightest breeze. And when we feel a slight breeze in our life, we can bend with it. When we notice that some breeze comes to our life and we are trying not to bend, then we know we should practice our horizontalness. Thank you.
I don't know why my heart rate went up when you said that. And it made me think of this book I was reading on introverts and how they sometimes don't conform to what everybody else is thinking. And there's a tendency in group dynamics to want to conform. And sometimes people get to the wrong answer when they just conform. And so, like, if you have a tendency to, like, not follow the group and to, like, you know, it might be a good thing. It's my 2 cents.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.